Good morning and welcome to our assembly. We're thankful so much for the presence of each and every one, and we hope that you brought your Bible and would be willing to follow along in our study together. I've provided an outline of the lesson today with scriptures on the back of a little handout sheet that we have, so you will have a record of those scriptures and you will be able to study them in your own home. And you will be able to review some of the things that were said in the lesson this morning. I appreciate so very much your doing that. Appreciate the song selection this morning, particularly the focus on prayer to God for the things that are pressing on our hearts. It's been a difficult week for people who follow the news and are touched by violence across this country, and we'll say more about that in a little bit. But when I started this lesson, and I determined the text for my lesson from Titus chapter 2, 11 through 13, and I took this phrase from how to live in the present age, how to live in our world. And Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Of course, his present age is different from ours, but those words are very important to us, that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the time that we live. And God's Word tells us how to do that. In verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. That's pretty much the banner of the Christian as we wave our banners and going through life. And when we decide that we want to obey the gospel of Christ and take discipleship on us and to live for Him, to learn of Him as much as we can, and to live the way that He shows us to live, knowing that only blessings come from that, from His loving and compassionate and merciful Father in heaven. We must continue to renew our strength and determination to leave the things in the world to the world and pursue the things of God. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19 and said, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness." There are characteristic teachings of the gospel of Christ that when we embrace those and live those in our lives, it causes us to be different from the people in the world. Different to the degree that it's noticed by the world. And consequently, it takes us a great deal of inner strength to continue on that pathway that the Lord has told us to follow. Most Christians know they're supposed to overcome things of the world and put to death sinful practices in their lives that they may have learned while they were growing up or younger. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul wrote to these Christians and said in verse 5, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." How does the Christian put off habitual behavior that he knows the Bible condemns? Here's the answer. Consider the members of your body, your hands, your eyes, your mouth, your mind, everything that you used to serve under the devices of Satan, consider those to be dead. As far as immorality is concerned, you're dead. As far as impurity is concerned, you're dead. As far as evil passion and evil desire is concerned, you're dead. As far as greed for things is concerned, dead. You consider yourself dead to these things. In verse 8 he says, but now you also put them all aside. Put these things aside, he says. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Put those off. You're dead to those things. Kill them in your mind so that you can kill them in your practice is the idea. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Put away the old way of thinking, because there are behavior patterns that follow that old way of thinking. Put it away. Kill it. Crucify it, to use a word that Paul used in reference to those things. Put them to death. Think that way no longer. Because what you do with your mind will bring an outgrowth in your behavior. If you kill the things in your mind that were providing hindrances to you as far as your relationship with God is concerned, then you can renew your thinking and think on the good things of the Spirit. Cultivate those in your thoughts and your spiritual actions, and pure actions will follow from that. It all begins in the mind. Christians of the first century were known because of their different way of life. Peter wrote about people who observe your behavior as Christians, and they think it's strange that you will not participate with them in the same ungodly deeds. That's puzzling to them. But it catches their attention, doesn't it? In Acts 24 and verse 25, Paul, before Felix, made a king shake in his royal boots when he reasoned of righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Where would we be as people in this world if we didn't realize that we were going to have to give an account to our Creator for the things that we thought about and said and did? More people in our world need to understand that valuable truth, don't they? Maybe they would have second thoughts about some of the activities that they engage in. Remember? Maybe they would deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Maybe they would live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Maybe they would. Commitment to purity as a Christian and keeping each other encouraged in being committed to purity is a great task that every Christian has. We must keep each other encouraged. It caused many to take the case for Christianity seriously. People who were caught up in miserable sins that were ruining their lives, and there were some people who realized the ruin and others who didn't. But they knew that something wasn't right, and they were not happy. And those people were able to see the lives of Christians and the great joy and the great happiness that they had in their hearts and how they loved one another. And those people, seeking to come out of that misery, wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to have what Christians have. They saw divine power at work in the lives of people, transforming their lives, who had once lived as they were living. And they wanted to know, how in the world could that happen with me? Your commitment to honesty and truthfulness and high standards of morality and the other virtues that belong to Christianity will be your most powerful statement to people in the world about the good in life and how to possess it. It will become the opening for you to lead people to Christ, which is why you are living here as a Christian. You want others to hear the gospel message and be saved by it. You know, a Ford dealer who drives Chevrolets will probably not be successful in selling his product because people will wonder why he drives some other car than the one he's trying to sell. And when people see us fall into the snares of the devil and live immoral lives or wicked lives or wrong lives that we don't think are all that wrong, but God does. And when they see that in us, they don't want any part of that. Christians who live no differently from their non-Christian friends will not be successful at sharing the gospel of Christ with them. So we have to understand the demands of discipleship. Christians live under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying godliness and worldly desires, live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And remember, Jesus himself said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not obey the things that I tell you to do?" The conversion to Christ, which does not reach the level of daily behavior, is fundamentally flawed. It's not a once-a-week lifestyle. It's a daily behavior, Luke 9 and verse 23. We have to carry through with our commitment to the Lord. We have to, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, be obedient in all things. 1 Timothy 3:11, be faithful in all things. And Titus 2 and verse 7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds. Recall the deceptive nature of sin. It takes you further than you plan to go. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, talks about the deception of wickedness. And it is very deceptive. Ephesians 5, 3 through 6, Paul wrote and he said, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom." Inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." That's a powerful statement from Scripture, isn't it? Notice that there must not be any impurity. Denying godliness and worldly desires and live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Yes. No impurity. Well, what if we know about the people in the Bible. And we know about the people in the first century. Well, what about people today? What about modern life in the present age? Probably, you know, we could talk for hours about all of the things going on in our world today. But one of the strongest influences in our world today comes to us through the wonderful advances in technology in our country. with regard to communication. A day in the typical life of a person, you know, there are a lot of people that the very first thing they do in the morning when they wake up is grab their iPhone and see what happened while they were asleep, or who sent them a message or a photograph, or and then when they take care of their normal daily routine for preparing to go to work or whatever it is they do, they open the laptop and do the same thing, or grab the phone and check it again, or update my status between classes, at lunch, I take a picture of my friends, me and my friends, post it on my site. Various times of the day during breaks in my schedule, I chat with my friends, and all night long, I'm on my iPhone, I have it in my hand, I'm sending text messages, I'm reading messages from other people, and I'm looking at other people's photos, and I'm sharing mine, and I'm making statements, and I'm making comments. And I have a screen in front of my face for hours every day. And rightfully, someone would say, well, Brother Smalley, what in the world is wrong with that? We're not out here committing crimes. We're not out here leading marches of hate against people. We're sitting in the comfort of our own school or our own home, and we're minding our own business. And we're just cultivating relationships with people. And yes, social media is a wonderful blessing. It is a great tool. Most all of us use it, and use it well. And what advances in swift communication we appreciate. We can know things that are happening on the other side of the world in a matter of seconds. That never happened 100 years ago. You're quickly able to see when someone is hurting, so you can respond to them with something that might be helpful. You can pray for people who are on the other side of the world, who are being oppressed, because they are trying to live for Christ. You're able to rejoice when something great happens. You can rejoice with those who rejoice, and you can weep with those who weep, just like the Bible says, right? And that's a good thing. You're able to spread the message of Christ to other people. You're able to quote a scripture to some of your friends. You're able to show your photograph at a church building with other people who gather together to remember the Lord's death. Now, any number of things that are good, you're keeping yourself informed. You're using information to help you, and you're using it in the right way. Those things are entirely good. They bless our lives. But you might be surprised if you really knew accurately the number of how many messages you send or receive every month. You know, when that data is available to people and they look at it, someone shows it to them. And the first thought that pops in their mind, well, I had no idea I sent that many messages or that many came to me. Or I had no idea how many hours every month I spend on my device. What you write, what you post, what you text, is all really a reflection of who you are. And if you're a Christian, what sort of things should you text? What sort of things should you post? Be very careful is all I'm saying. Be very careful. People have taken great blessings and misused them. And this is no exception to that rule. People have taken the great blessings of social media and misused it. And they have begun to seek the approval of men rather than God. And I'm not talking about people out in the world. I'm talking about Christians now. That's where we are concerned primarily. Seeking the approval of men rather than the approval of God. That's not a good thing. John 12 and verse 43, the Lord said. And there are things that Christians should not talk about. And they should not express their feelings about on a platform that is open to the entire world and never goes away. We shouldn't be complaining about things. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. When people see what you post or go to your site or whatever it is they do to investigate you, what do you want them to come away thinking about you? That you are blameless and innocent, as the Lord said you should be? Or that you're always grumbling and murmuring and complaining about something? Which, because the choice is entirely yours, do they see a child of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, as Paul says in Philippians 2? Isn't that what others see? I hope that it is. I pray that it is. Because corrupt communication should not come out of our mouths. But we shouldn't be texting it either. It's the same thing. Jesus said, of course, we'll be judged by every careless word that we speak or every careless word that we write and send to someone else. Careless word. Think about what you're saying. Facebook provides an avenue for you to spend countless hours on site. And here's a fair question, I think. A fair question for one Christian to ask another. Do you neglect personal Bible study in order that you may spend more time on social media? Is the social media time that you use taking away from your prayer time? And time that you need to spend with the Word of God. That's a fair question, isn't it? For one Christian to ask another. Because we need to encourage each other and we need to warn each other of dangers in this world. And that is a danger. There's the avenue provided for you to spend countless hours with social media. You have to keep your priorities straight. You have to. You're standing for God. Social networks can become idols in people's lives. People actually bow down and worship social media. Don't go there. Don't let that happen to you. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. Let your speech always be with grace in Colossians 4 and verse 6. As seasoned with salt, so you will know how to respond to every person. And how do I respond to every person? Righteously. Righteously. Remember, deny ungodliness and worldly desires and live soberly or sensibly, righteously and godly in the present age. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place and He's watching the evil and the good in Proverbs 15 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. And don't be deceived about this. If you spend a lot of time on social media and the people you're spending it with are not helping you advance spirituality, are not helping you live more righteously, are not providing something of encouragement for you on your trip to heaven, get rid of them. Because if they're not helping you, they're hindering you need any more hindrances. We've got a devil walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's looking to devour you. Is he going to use social media to do it? If I were him, I would. Because I could overthrow millions of people just taking their mind off spiritual things and their mind off the God of heaven and putting it on things that are happening in this life. If I can distract people in that way, I can cause them to be lost along with me. But that's the way the devil thinks. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus said that in Matthew 5 and verse 16. In 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love abides in death. Whenever we get ready to hit that send button on send a message, we need to take a moment to think. Is this message in opposition to love that I should have for somebody else? There are a lot of mean people in this world that use this avenue for bullying other people. You've probably heard that in the news a lot lately. Remember that the Bible never commands us to be popular. The Bible never encourages us to manipulate or control other people. I went to school, grammar school. I remember things that happened with people and the girls trying to make someone else jealous or envious of them. When you do that, do you realize that you are trying to make them sin against God by being jealous or envious? You shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. You will not be without guilt before the Lord because jealousy and envy are included in the works of the flesh, just like murder and sexual immorality and other things that we might sort of automatically think in our minds are horrible sins against God. Ephesians 4 and verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which he has been called. Serious things to think about. Yes, great blessings with social media, but Christians above all, we must be careful. So take that point, please, with you today. And then what about our present age this past week? Haven't you just been crying all week long? Haven't you been crying all month long? When you see the sort of things that happen in our country with a gunman storming into an elementary school in a small town in Texas, killing 19 children and two teachers, don't you just cry your heart out over that situation? And those families that are affected forever. And you think about the mass shooters just in our own lifetime who've killed hundreds of people throughout the United States in stores, in theaters, in workplaces. And don't you just wonder what in the world is wrong with people? What is happening in our society? Who are these people? Where do they come from? How do they get in the shape they get in to do such a thing? Baffling, isn't it? Baffling. 10 people shot to death in a Buffalo, New York grocery store? Shopping for groceries? And we wonder about what in the world is the answer that will prevent senseless murders in our country. What is the answer? It's probably not just one solution. It's probably a combination of things. Politicians seem to have the goal that the public does not know about, so they will force whatever resonates with the largest number of people who support them for re-election. And they'll start attacking, what, guns? And does that really make sense? I mean, from a common sense standpoint, does it really make sense? Will the problem at Robb Elementary School didn't have anything to do with people, it's guns. Guns were on the attack. Well, let's put all the guns in the electric chair. Will that solve the problem? And you know that it won't. Because the problem is in the heart of man. Have people forgotten history? Yes. I remember growing up hearing about terrorism over in the Middle East. The squabble over the land over there that's been fought over since 1940-something, when Israel was forcefully given some of the land over there following World War II. People with bombs walk in a place and blow up a bunch of people. Didn't matter if they were young kids or older people. Don't you remember history, those things happening? What about in the Far East where indiscriminately people in political power started murdering people? Not to mention the things that happened in this country. The city where my grandparents lived, my paternal grandparents, Birmingham, Alabama. I remember as a small kid, the nickname for that place was Bombingham. Because people started throwing dynamite under people's houses. What is wrong with these people? Dynamite under... But here's how they solved the problem. They eliminated all the dynamite. You know that's ridiculous, don't you? It's the evil in the heart of people that festers and finds its expression. That's the way Jesus described it. It's not unclean hands at a meal that defiles a man. It's not what goes in his body that defiles a man. It's what comes out of him. Out of his heart. Jesus made that clear. It's happened throughout history, and it will continue to happen until Christ comes again and takes it all away. Violence is not a new phenomenon. In the Bible, what about the wrath of God shown on God's people? Because they embraced idolatry. And they stubbornly embraced it, and they wouldn't give it up. Even when God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to say, repent, turn back to God, He loves you, He'll forgive you. Nope. We're going to cling to our idols. Okay, the last resort. I'm going to cause some wicked people to come in there and punish you for that. We don't care, we're doing it our way. And when they came in, they destroyed people indiscriminately. Women and children. Violence is not new. They took no pity on women and children. And the same was true during the destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus told his disciples about. This is going to happen, Matthew 24. 21 through 22, then there will be a great tribulation, the Lord said, such has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now. Jesus said that about violence, nor ever will. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What's he saying? For the sake of my people, for the sake of Christians, those days will be cut short. Violence like this is not new at all. Don't you remember in Matthew chapter 2, 16 through 18, Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi. He became very enraged and he sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under. That's even younger than the elementary school children who were murdered. According to the time which he had determined from the Magi. That kind of violence is not new. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children. And she refused to be comforted because they were no more. That violence is not new. But it has the fundamental same problem. Evil in the hearts of people. And there's only one way to get that out. And it's not more gun laws. Maybe some gun laws do need to be improved in this country, but that's not the solution. The solution is given to us plainly in the record of the very first murder in Genesis chapter 4. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. And if you do not well, sin is couching at the door and its desire is for you. But you must master it." Now there's your solution. There's your solution for murder, and the Lord gives it in Genesis chapter 4. And so what can we say? If we want to sum all this up, there are probably a lot of things. When an individual isolates himself from other people and all he has is a screen in front of his eyes, that's impersonal relationships. You can't build relationships like that. You can't appreciate other people like that. You can't love other people like that. Because all you have is a screen in front of your face, not a face-to-face with another person. And you isolate yourself. And the depths of darkness available on social media will take you further than you ever intended to go. So you contemplate murder in your heart. Generally speaking, what is the answer? It's the scriptures that our politicians are doing everything they can do to destroy. It's prayer to God that we've had some of our politicians come up and curse people for praying for the ones who lost their loved ones in Texas. What kind of person does that? The kind that we're manufacturing in the United States, because we said prayer in the schools, kick it out. Teachers reading Bibles, throw the Bibles out. Posting something about God in a public place, tear it down. We're throwing away the only thing that has the answer. And as long as we keep throwing it away and stomping it in the ground and burning it in a pile of books, the violence is going to keep happening. It's going to get worse. And it might even come to our own community. The only thing that's going to stop it is when Christ comes again. When He gets fed up with the whole mess. And he says, it's time to bring my children home and destroy the evil. It's going to be a happy day for God's people, but it's going to be a sad day for a lot of people. It's been a hard week, hasn't it? Please think carefully about the things that were mentioned in the lesson this morning. I've had a great struggle with just trying to think rightly this week. It's just been tough. You're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian. You need the hope that the Holy Scriptures give you. You don't want to spend your eternity with the likes of the people that walk into a place and murder a bunch of innocent people, do you? And there's only one way out of that, and that's to believe that Jesus Christ is your hope, the only way to salvation, the only one who can bring it. Believe that He's the Son of God. If you don't hear the gospel, you'll never come to that belief, because the gospel is His record. Repent of your past sins. Confess Christ before men. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. Be faithful unto God, and He'll bless you. And you won't have to worry about this evil world anymore when we leave after our very short lives are over, or when the Lord comes again. If we can help you with that this morning, we'd be delighted to do it. And if we can, please come to the front and tell me about it, and we will assist you while we stand together and encourage you to sing the invitation song.